If you are statistically like most Americans, 75% of you here in this auditorium feel like I have money stress in my life.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Jobe, and the program that you're listening to is called Straight Talk. I'm a pastor in the city of Chicago. I've been pastoring for quite a few years in a church called New Life Community Church. We're a multi-site church that meets in and around the city of Chicago. I have a deep burden to see this city transformed and each neighborhood experiencing the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. And it's my joy and privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to thousands of people, not only on Sundays, but also via the airwaves in the Chicagoland area. So many of you have been so supportive, so encouraging. I know some of you stay up late at night after your bedtime just to listen to this program. Some of you have told me that, and I know that. And I'm sure that I put some of you to sleep with this program. And if that helps you go to sleep, well, hey, God bless you and keep listening. But I just want to encourage you to pray for the city of Chicago and the outlying suburbs that we refer to as Chicagoland. I believe that Chicago is a pivotal city in the course of this nation. With almost 10 million people in greater Chicagoland, this had been a center of power and a center of spiritual influence and a center that persuades and influences the rest of the nation. I've been praying for years that God would do something extraordinary in this great city of ours, and I believe that my eyes will see that. I've seen so much happening already. One of the things that God is doing is bringing together people, men and women, that have a vision for church planting in the city of Chicago. I just came together with a group of men recently that are believing God to see literally hundreds of churches, 400 churches planted in the next few years throughout the city of Chicago and surrounding neighborhoods. These church planters will be from different groups and different denominations, but Christian people bringing the gospel witness to neighborhoods. So would you pray that God would open up doors all over the city of Chicago? Would you pray that churches would be planted, that the existing churches would be strengthened, and that God would move in this city so that we would not be known as a city of violence, but that we would be known as a city where God has moved and is moving in incredible ways? Let's get ready for today's message.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Mark. Tonight, we are in our series called Wise, Having Sense and Making Change. Tonight is the third message in the series called Start with What You Have. We'll be in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
There are people that run the spectrum of financial health. Some of you here are so behind on your mortgage, you may feel like I'm losing my house. Some of you here are buying a second house in Florida because you want to do something with all the money you've made and are buying extra. So I realize that some people are really struggling and some people are really overflowing. But if you are statistically like most Americans, chances are that 75% of you here in this auditorium feel like I have money stress in my life. And chances are you feel like you're living paycheck to paycheck. So if that's the case, I really want you to listen because I believe that there's some powerful principles that I'm about to give you today out of a story found in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 15. Last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 3, and Proverbs is full of wisdom about money and about finances. And Proverbs chapter 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best of everything you produce. I believe this story in 1 Kings chapter 17 tells us how to honor the Lord with our wealth, and gives us some powerful principles about looking to what we have first before we look to what we don't have. Have you ever gone through a tollway and realized, boy, I don't have change? And so you ask people in the car, hey, does anybody have change? And everybody's like getting in their pockets, and you're getting dimes and nickels and trying to pull together enough change to put in the toll booth so that you can move forward. And the question is, hey, does anybody have change? And everybody's sticking their hand in their pocket to see what they have, because what they have allows them to not get stuck but move forward. Today, this message really is about that. It's not about what you don't have. It's about what you do have that allows you to move forward. I'm going to ask that you reach into your imaginary pocket and put your hand around the change and say, what do I have, instead of asking, what don't I have? In 1 Kings chapter 17, there's a story about a widow and a prophet and a crisis. It tells us in, I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. It says, sometime later, the brook dried up. This story is about Elijah the prophet, who was an incredible man of God, who was actually taken up to the heavens in a whirlwind as he saw chariots of fire. He had called a drought from heaven so that it would not rain for 3 years and 6 months. Now, he had called the drought because it was judgment upon the land towards a king by the name of Ahab and his wife by the name of Jezebel. The God that the people of Israel had turned to was a God called Baal. He was the God of fertility, and he was the God of rain. And so in judgment, God had said, you're going to see who really is God. It's not the God called Baal, but the sovereign God of the universe is God. And he made it not rain for 3 years and 6 months. So it sent the entire country into an economic crisis. Elijah was by a little river, and the drought became so severe that the river dried up. Because it says there had been no rain in the land. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon. Zarephath was a town of Sidon, and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Number one, sometimes God leads us into the center of a crisis to fulfill his purpose and his plan. Into the center of a crisis. Elijah was in an economic drought, and God says to him, get up and go to Zarephath. You would think that Zarephath would be a better place to go, but in fact, it was a worse place to go. Zarephath was a town between Tyre and Sidon, ruled by Jezebel's father. This town was in the heart of Baal worship, in the middle of the famine, and God asked Elijah to go to that town that was worse off, and to go to a widow that was about to die, who was a single mother and had nothing. So he sent him from where he was to a worse place in the middle of a crisis. Now, here's what I want you to understand. If you're going through a crisis today, it may not be that you're out of the will of God. Just because you're in a storm doesn't mean that you did something wrong. Hello. Sometimes God's will is to take you to the middle of a storm. God is not afraid of storms, because sometimes we can't learn what God is going to teach us, or we can't do what God wants us to do unless we're in the middle of a storm. Do you realize that? Now, some storms we create ourselves out of our naivety, our bad decisions, and our disobedience. But some storms we can't avoid. Some storms God takes us into, and we're in the middle of the will of God, but we're in the middle of a storm because God wants us there. Do you remember the story in Luke chapter 8, verse 22 through 25? One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and they set out. As they sailed, Jesus fell asleep, and a storm came on the lake. The storm was so severe that the boat was swamped and they were in great danger. Now, whose idea was it to get in a boat and go on the lake? Whose? Come on, this isn't a trick question. Who was it? Jesus. Who chose the timing to get in the boat? Jesus. Who chose the lake that they were going to go on? Jesus led them right to the middle of a storm. And then he fell asleep. The disciples were following Jesus, and Jesus led them into a storm. They weren't out of the will of God. They were in the center of the will of God. Do you realize that you can be right where God wants you to be, but it seems like the boat is sinking? It seems like the wind is blowing. I mean, it seems like everything is swirling around you. Do you remember Peter? Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter said, "Jesus, call me out." And Jesus said, "Come, Peter." Peter jumped out of the boat into the storm. And then when he was in the storm, he started to drown. Who was he following? The word of Jesus. I want you to understand that every hardship that comes into your life is not of the devil. That every difficulty you experience isn't because you did something wrong. I don't want you to give credit to the devil when sometimes it's the middle. You're in the middle of the will of God and in the middle of a storm that is testing your faith. Because there are certain things, listen to me, there are certain things that you cannot learn in times of calm. You have to learn it in the storm. There are certain lessons about faith and life that will never be tested unless you go through a storm.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Start With What You Have, which is from our series called Wise, Having Sense and Making Change. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Start With What You Have.
Some of you are here because a storm brought you to God. Some of you have gained incredible faith because you've seen God take you through a storm. You would have never learned it if you hadn't been through the crisis or the storm that you had to go through. And sometimes God has a purpose and a plan to accomplish things through our storm that we have to just let the storm play out. God called Elijah to go to Zarephath, to the middle of a crisis, to a widow that was extremely poor, because he had a plan and a purpose both to bless the widow and to do something incredible by the hand of God. Number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. So God took Elijah to a place where he had commanded a widow in that place to supply him with food. Before you go to the second point, let me just remind you that sometimes God chooses those who seem to have least to do the most. God commanded a widow who had nothing, a single mother, in the middle of a famine, in a big crisis, and God said, "I want you to go to her because she is going to supply your needs." Oh, I love that about God. The Bible says that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. And God has chosen the things that are not to bring to naught those things that are. That sometimes God will choose the people that seem like they have the least to do the most. God will choose a shepherd boy to kill a giant. God will choose the lunch of a little boy to feed 5,000. You see, God is not limited by the little that you have. God loves to take those who seem like they have little and do incredible things through them, because that's the way that God works. God will take a baby born in a manger to save all of humanity. That's the way that God works. Number two, your financial turnaround begins with what you have, not with what you lack. Verse 10 says, so he went to Zarephath, Elijah did. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? Now remember, this is the widow who's a single mother, who's in a famine, who has no money, no food, no supplies, no backup, no savings, no relatives that are going to help her out, no pension, no welfare, no link card. All she has is a little oil and a little flour and a son that she has to provide for. So Elijah asks her for a cup of water. And she says yes to the cup of water. In verse 11 it says, and as she was going to get it, the cup of water, he called out and said, oh, and by the way, can you bring me, please, a piece of bread? Has that ever happened to you? Where someone asks you to do a little favor and then it grows bigger? My wife's a master at this. Hun, could you just stop by the Walgreens for a half a gallon of milk? It'll just take a second. Sure, why not? Sure, I'll do that. What kind of milk? And then, since you're at the Walgreens, I mean, it's right by the Myers. I really have some more. Could you pick up a few things? All right, I'll go. And then she'll text me, and I'll have 20 items on the list. This is a little bit like switching bait. You know, you ask your wife, hey, honey, can you get me the tissue? I'm not feeling so good. She says, sure, I'll do it. And by the way, while you're getting me the tissue, could you make me a cup of coffee as well? Oh, hold on a second. It's like going to the neighbor and the ball gets caught on top of the roof and you say to the neighbor, the young man, hey, sir, could you, you know, my kid's here, the ball's on the roof. Could you please climb up the roof and get it? Yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then when he's up there with the ball, you say, and by the way, could you check the gutters to see if any of them, take the leaves out of the gutters, check the other side. Hold on a second. This widow felt a little bit like that. Elijah says, could you get me a cup of water? And I think she kind of looks at him and says, kind of like, yeah, I guess since you can't get your own cup of water, I'll get it for you. And so she's going to get a cup of water. And then he springs upon her a request that's much more than a cup of water. He asks her for something that's hard for her to do. He asks her for a piece of bread that under normal circumstances seems like it would not be that difficult. But for this woman, all she had was a little flour and a little oil. And so notice her response. It says, and as he was getting, he said, and bring me please a piece of bread. I could just see her head snapping back, looking at him fast. And she says, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have, what does she say? I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. Now, this is really powerful. I want you to hear me. I want you to understand this, that this woman did not know that Elijah's request was about to set in motion a plan that would be the salvation of her future. Some of you, God is already orchestrating a plan in your life, and you don't even know that God is working on your behalf. Some of you are in the midst of a crisis and you don't even know that God behind the scenes has already set in motion some things to bring you out of this crisis. Some of you think that God hasn't even heard your prayers, but what you don't know is that God is already sending the prayer, the answers to your prayer are coming your way because God set in motion months ago before you even knew it. Before you even prayed, God was already setting in motion an answer to your prayer. This woman had been going down and down economically, but God had already spoken to Elijah a time before. Elijah had traveled. She did not know that this chance encounter with Elijah was about to save her life. She just seemed like this man was bothering her, but in reality, God was setting her up for a breakthrough. I want you to hear me well. Notice this. She had to say yes, first of all, to a small step before God would ask her to do something greater that would lead her to a breakthrough. She said yes to the water, and then the request for bread came. I think that God sometimes asks us to take a small step to see the willingness of our heart before he takes us to the bigger steps he calls us to. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that a lot of people say no to the small steps because they want to do bigger things, but they don't understand that before you do bigger, you have to do the smaller. Well, let me say that again. See, you can't go to college before you've gone to high school. You can't drive the semi before you've driven a car. You can't go to graduate school until you get a university degree. You can't be a teacher until you've been an assistant teacher. You can't invest other people's money unless you've learned how to invest some of your own money first. Are you tracking with me? And some of us, God is saying to us, hey, would you do this? And we say, no, I want to do bigger things. And we're saying no to the bigger things because we're not willing to do the small things. Hey, would you be an usher? No, I want to be an assistant pastor. Hey, would you willing to be a home group assistant? No, I want to lead the home group. Well, are you willing to teach kids Sunday school? No, I want to lead adults. Oh, hold on a second. Do you realize that the door to greater opportunity comes when we say yes to the smaller opportunities first? That it always works that way in the kingdom of God. And some of us are stuck because we have never said yes to God in the small things, so we can never go on to do the bigger things because we haven't learned to say yes. And as long as you keep saying no, God, no, God, no, God, no, God, no, God, then the doors keep closing and closing and closing and closing for the bigger things. You keep getting stuck doing nothing because you haven't said yes to the little things. We need to learn to say yes, God. Okay, let's practice it. Let's start with yes. Yes. Now look to the heavens. Say, yes, God. That's the first time God's heard that from some of you for a long time. He's like, wow, you could say that? It's saying yes to God in the little things he asks you to do, because the door to greater opportunity is the small door that leads you into the waiting room of the big door. This woman said yes to a cup of water. She hesitated when it came to bread because she really did not understand what she had. Now, I want you to notice that the response for most of us when God calls us to greater opportunities is to doubt ourselves. Notice what this woman said. Bring me a piece of bread, Elijah said. And she said, as surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any. You know, some of us, when God asks us to do something, the first thing that we say is, I don't have any.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Wise, Having Sense and Making Change. And tonight was his message called Start With What You Have. Join us again on Monday for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. If you prefer to have a CD, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. If you're looking to visit a church this Easter season, we invite you to hear Pastor Mark in person at our Midway location, 5101 South Keeler in Chicago. This Easter, we present a dramatic live onstage drama with a multimedia presentation, and it's called The Power of Hope. You won't want to miss this powerful story. It'll be 3 Sundays in a row, beginning Sunday, March 13th. Service times will be at 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 12 noon. You can check out our website for more information, newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. And by the way, if you take the train, it's the Orange Line heading to Midway Airport. We are at the Pulaski stop. We hope to see you here. Please do tune in again on Monday for the next Straight Talk as we conclude the message, Start With What You Have. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and God bless.